the way from Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Welcome to ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I can't wait for this episode. We got some lovely moms here sitting across the way from me, and it's going to rock. I get women abound in my house.
You are one lucky man. This is actually episode 8, we were saying, right?
I think it's 8. Yep,
8, indeed. And it's all about, we have some moms here for some round table. So why don't you introduce yourself? We'll start off with Dana.
Well, I'm Dana, and I have a 12-month-old son.
And how about you, Rebecca?
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I've got two little boys. I've got an 11-month-old Noah, and Brandon is just shy of 3 years.
Since you guys are new with us, we're going to actually jump into the judgment-free zone. Blake, for people who haven't done the judgment-free zone, give us a 411.
The judgment-free for you guys is just a confession, something that you did and you're not necessarily proud of, but you did it anyway, and it's okay. So let's get into the judgment-free zone.
All right, so Dana, you said that you're going to start off with a judgment-free story. Tell us about it.
Well, now that Alexander is eating solid foods, I will say that all parents have probably done this during the week and at feeding time, where you're making their dinner and they're eating, and you decide that you want to eat some too. And you just decide that you're going to eat their chicken fingers, and it looks pretty good. You're like, you don't want that, do you? I'll eat it, because you're just that hungry.
It's chicken fingers.
That you know, you're in the mood that that's your dinner. And you know what? You're convincing them that they don't want it because you want it more. And I feel like sometimes that's a funny thing where parents are eating their, you know, dinner, and they're like, I'd rather have your french fries.
Wait, time out. Are you actually, like, stealing his food?
I'm stealing his food.
You are making your child go hungry.
I'm negotiating. I'm thinking, I'll give you a little bit more time on the boob later. You give me that chicken finger.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It is.
I like it, personally.
I mean, you know, it's like...
Wait, the boob or food?
The chicken fingers.
Okay. The chicken fingers, you know? I mean, I really don't want to eat my squash because I'm dieting. I want to eat their chicken fingers.
Add a little ranch on there, too. Mm, that's what I'm talking about.
How about you, Blake? What's your judgment-free story?
I got a good one. It actually happened today, as a matter of fact, right before we started recording. Reese was going to go down for a nap. And I've been busting my balls trying to get him down a nap because my kid just can't sleep, right? It's just a pain in my butt. Anyway, I'm getting him down, and I right before he's about to nap, I smell some poop, right? I'm like, all right, I'll do the right thing. I'll change him, right? I'll get him on the changing table. No problem. Change him up, and then I get him put back into his pajamas. And then wouldn't you know, as I go to sit down, I still smell the poop. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I just changed this kid. You got to be kidding me, right? So what happened? I got him in my arms and I'm bouncing him and I feel on his leg a little wetness. And I was like, no. I look down and he's got like a poop smudge on his leg. But I had him down. I was there. I said, you know what? I just wiped it and I put him in the bed.
What did you wipe it on?
Huh?
What did you wipe the poop on?
A wipey. I just wiped the poop off the wipey and I was like, you know, I'm not even going to change him. I don't even care. I'm just going to leave him in the bed. And I left him in the bed and he napped. And he slept like that for like an hour and a half. So that's what I did. That was my judgment-free zone. Don't judge. You don't know me.
How about you, Rebecca?
You guys are looking at me like I'm horrified. What?
No.
This is a judgment-free zone.
Well, we would have never known, so it's all good.
Yeah.
We're among friends.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I've been known to have the occasional call of duty, shall we say, and at Noah's feeding time, it may just so happen that he's sitting in the rocker while he's in the bathroom with me. I can do two things at once.
And you're judging me by leaving poop on my kid's leg.
I say nothing.
She's not
it's
judging.
Judgment-free zone.
Yep. Damn straight.
So that's it. Food and poop. And our kid's waking up, so we'll be right back. All right, so now that we are back...
And we got the kid rescued, and he's actually sitting in my lap right now.
Oh, he's just
looking
so sweet.
Very adorable.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of hot like me.
So our topic today is we're going to be chatting about things that we wish we knew about a little bit more before we got pregnant. So us ladies are going to spread some wisdom to our girlfriends out there over the interwebs about the truth behind pregnancy. So my first question to you guys is, how far along were you when you found out that you were pregnant? Kind of like, what was that experience like when you found out?
I found out very fast. So we were not trying, but I came off birth control. and we had just moved into a new house. We were getting everything ready, and you know, it was a very busy month of, you know, ending school and getting ready. And we had that very famous moment of, you know, setting up your room and wanting to christen it in your new house. And that was it. We were one and done. And a few weeks later, I just felt kind of off, and I took the pregnancy test, that, you know, early decision, like, wait, early knowing.
One and done?
One and done.
Oh my God.
That was the only time we had sex in the house. We were admitted to painting, and I kept on saying while I was killing things that if I'm pregnant, this kid's coming out with two heads. And he kept saying I wasn't pregnant. We only had it once. It was 4th of July. My period should have been there the 7th. I took a test. I showed it to him. He said, there's no line there. I said, that's a line. It was the faintest line you ever saw. I said, no, it's a line. He said, no, it's not. Oh. 2 days later, I took it again just to prove him. He went off to play golf. I sent him the text of the test with the brightest blue line ever. And his response was calmly, well, I guess you should make a doctor's appointment. So,
wow.
He was very calm about it, but I was definitely freaking out because I expected it to take a long time. My whole family, aunts, you know, mother, cousins, they all had 2-3 years of trying. And you know, the whole wives tale of that if you've been on a birth control for a really long time, it might take you a long time is not true. Not true at all. So
wow. Rebecca, how about you?
It took us a while. I think you know, just to get my cycles regulated, it took probably like 10 months from the time I went off the pill to the time I was, you know, taking the test myself. But I was pretty sure when I took the test that it was actually going to come out as we expected it to, and I still have the test now.
Wow. How far into it were you, like, your pregnancy when you found out?
I think like 3 weeks. I wanted to, you know so I could be making smart choices with my eating and my diet and, you know, those glasses of wine that we all like to enjoy. So I think my immediate reaction was, what did we do? But you know, it all settled in and everything is good.
Mary, how about you? How far along were you?
I was like 7 or 8 weeks.
Didn't you go drinking before?
I was at a winery the night before doing my pregnancy test, eating prosciutto and brie and drinking way too much wine. My cycle was completely off. So we were just really throwing the dice and saying, you know, if something ever happens, something's going to happen. And I actually had just come back from a doctor. I guess I saw her during my 3rd week of pregnancy, and we had taken a pregnancy test and it came back negative. So I was on taking all ovulation tests, and everything was saying I wasn't ovulating. So I just kept drinking and eating. And after a couple of months of not having my period and peeing on ovulation tests, I thought, you know what? I should probably take a pregnancy test again. And I was. So Reese turned out okay, even though I visited vineyards and ate prosciutto.
That's why he doesn't sleep.
That's probably why. Thanks to all the Pinot Grigio. Oops. Well, that being said, you know, did you guys ever crave anything or want anything that was on the no-no list? And did you ever, you know, dabble in something you weren't supposed to do?
Did you just say, screw it, I'm just going to have it anyway?
Hot dog.
I didn't dabble in it. I was too terrified. But having that summer pregnancy, all I wanted was a hot dog.
Right? How can you go to a game and not have a hot dog and a beer? So at least I had the hot dog.
I would have had the beer.
I think I had veggie hot dogs. I don't know if that still has the same problem.
No, I thought you actually were, you were pretty adamant about being perfect, because I think you boozed so much before you found out you were pregnant. You're like, oh my God, my kid's going to be screwed up. I got to lessen the amount of screwed upness.
Well, being type A, I had the list on the fridge to remind me. Being very type A and having to have everything in order, like I had it there so I would remember not to eat things. But I had more food aversions. The foods that I loved, I immediately started to hate. The sight, smell, thought of chicken made me want to just to hurl. And I'm the chicken queen. If it's made of chicken, I pretty much eat it. But then I would go through weeks where like I was obsessed with certain things. Like 1 week was grapes, but then the next week I hated grapes.
I had like that super smell sensitivity to the point where I love coffee. I have like 2 or 3 cups a day at least. And just the smell of it would just send my stomach churning. And then I'd be in the office and I'd have coworkers eating chicken fingers and French fries across the hall. And my superhero sense of smell, I'd go running over, what are you eating?
Yeah. So another thing that happens when you get your super sense, you get a little bit emotional at times. How did your relationship to your husband change? Did it get better? Did you freak out some more? What ended up happening with those mood swings?
It depends on the pregnancy, because I have to say my first pregnancy and my second pregnancy were very different as far as my food sensitivities and my sense of smell and my moods. My second pregnancy, I was a little psycho. Like probably a lot psycho, to the point where my husband was like, wow, you're really hard right now. You're driving me crazy. And I'm like, well, I've already, this is my second pregnancy, so we don't have to, you know, ever have to have a sex again. We're all good. So I can just piss you off as much as I want to.
Well, my husband has the theory that all men are stupid and all women are crazy. And during pregnancy, I was just crazier. And I think he developed the you're fine statement to every element that I thought I felt or Googled. He would be like, you're fine. Like immediately. Like the second I would start to talk about something, you're fine.
I was an absolute peach. Blake isn't near the microphone right now because he's playing with the baby. Come on back, Blake.
Oh, no, I'm
from
back.
From
I'm
what I heard, back. I think I was just a peach.
Do tell.
Oh, no way a peach. No way a peach.
The husband's perspective, because yeah. I'm sure that mine would not say I was a peach either.
Okay, time out. All right, because you know what? When Mary was pregnant, we found out that we were moving to our current place that we're at now. And, you know, I understood the fact that she was pregnant. I got it. But every time I tried to do something, it was like, I'm tired. I can't do that. I can't pick.
Wanted me to paint. He wanted me to
unpack. No,
time out.
No.
Whoa.
I'm issuing the first calm down of this entire podcast. Calm down. I didn't want you to paint. What I wanted you to do was like take a blanket and move it across the room.
But you have men have no idea what women's bodies go through, their hormones, their like everything.
Something is literally sucking the life out of you.
An alien has moved in and inhabited your body.
It reminds me of like Twilight. Remember that Twilight baby? What was it? Renesmee?
That's exactly what it was. Like
sucking the blood.
Pretty much.
It is. The parasite. It really is. It's living off of you.
I remember reading, you know, in that first trimester especially, that your body is so tired, it's like you ran a marathon at the end of the day. You know, so you come home from work and you have to hide the fact that you're pregnant, which was a pain in the butt to begin with, and then you're exhausted. So I'm sorry I didn't want to move a blanket.
No. I agree. Like I said, I respected it. I didn't push too far. I didn't go crazy with it.
So when you found out you're pregnant, you get, you know, emotional and you eat different things. You started reading some books and started reading some websites. Which facts drove you absolutely crazy? Like, which things almost made you neurotic?
Every week I would read, you know, what size is the baby this week? And what is the baby growing this week? And, you know, it's the size of a poppy seed and the size of a, you know, a zucchini seed. It was all of these little growth milestones that I was kind of obsessed about. And I was like, oh, I think the baby's moving. And the baby doesn't move for like, you know, 15, 18 weeks at least. You're like, it's not the baby moving. You have gas. It's heartburn.
And being the type A mom, I was set on trying to know everything. And knowing everything can really drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. Every time there was a test or something, and I liked reading ahead. So like I wanted to know what was happening next month or next week or next test. And then I would panic and stuff like that. And I was growing big fast. So then it was searching, Googling, why is the baby showing big? Why is the baby doing this? And I would just, it would make me crazy. And then I would tell my husband and he would say, you're fine.
I remember reading the What to Expect When Expecting book, and I stopped at around 22 weeks because I remember reading, you might start getting hemorrhoids. And it was like this whole 2 pages about the different hemorrhoids that I might start getting. And I became obsessed with pooping and looking for blood.
And you gave yourself a hemorrhoid, right?
I have hemorrhoids now after labor, but I didn't have hemorrhoids during pregnancy, but I was like searching my whole pregnancy for these hemorrhoids that I read about at the 22-week mark. So I started to go crazy and I started to see these different things like, oh, your legs are going to cramp or you're going to have this or that. And there were all these ailments or problems that I didn't have, but I was searching for. So after the hemorrhoids, I said, you know what? I'm putting this book away because it did. It absolutely drove me crazy looking for problems that I didn't have.
Can we just talk about the one thing that I know happened with Mary? And it was the first time I ever heard her do something like this.
What?
She farted when she was pregnant.
Farting, yep.
And you know what? Can you talk to me about the gas situation? Because I heard her fart and it was like, I was like, oh, what was, human.
We've never done it in front of you before.
I know. Like, girls don't do that. That's crazy talk.
My first pregnancy, that was kind of one of the telltale signs. I was pretty much admitting to farting like a frat boy. And I actually, when I was at the office, would bring in my little air freshener. I wouldn't even bother to like get up or crop dust or whatnot. I was just spray and then spray the air to cover it up.
Well, try being a teacher in fourth grade and try not doing that all day long.
Because
you don't want them to
blame
think
it on
it's
the kids.
You. Yeah, but they could catch it. You're like, you're just the squeezing of holding it in so you didn't do it near them. It was just torturous because you didn't want to be the stinky farty teacher.
Better to let it out and feel the shame than hold it in and feel the pain, honey.
My farts were so sneaky. Because I also was a burper. I burped like a 15-year-old boy. But my farts were the kind that I didn't know it was me. So we would have friends over and a fart would happen and I'd look around and all of our friends, I remember we were watching Star Trek and all three of you turned around and you guys were like, Mary, that was nasty.
You didn't know it was your fart?
I guess my butt was that open. I have no idea what just happened, but I was so gassy.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Sorry.
Never mind.
Anyway.
The burping, I definitely could say, I had the worst part about the burping is after I do it, I go, Like my husband would be like, it wasn't so much the burping that was bad. It was the sigh of satisfaction of doing after it that would gross him out because I would be so excited to do it.
So we're dealing with our gas. We're dealing with all these smells and everything, and we're starting to get bigger, and we get into the world of maternity clothes. Let's chat about that.
There is not a pair of maternity pants on earth that is made to actually make your butt look like anything but a saggy old grandma.
Square butt.
Everything has stripes. At what point did someone design maternity clothing that thinks stripes are going to make you at all feel thinner? And when they go horizontally, they make you feel like you're one of the planets of the solar system and you have rings. And if they go vertically, it looks like you are a tent of the circus. Like just, it's amazing what they do to it. And they don't factor in like the boobs are growing with it. So they don't seem to like equate certain things. Either it fits your belly and it's just really big on top, or you have the Pamela Anderson of boobs and then the flowiness that you're not pregnant on the bottom.
Yep. I remember when I first got pregnant, and you know how they recommend those belly bands, those things that you, so you can unbutton your pants. Because when you first get pregnant, your uterus is so low, but it starts to get hard and it's like right where the button is in your pants. So they have this thing called the belly band where you get to unbutton your pants like you do when you eat too much food and you wear this belly band. But I hated it because it would just kind of like roll around and that hard area felt bad. And my zipper still showed through this belly band. So I started wearing maternity pants pretty early just because nothing felt right over that weird little hard bump.
Did you guys still feel attractive? Like, even though you were pregnant, did you feel like, I'm not saying that you weren't attractive. I'm saying just emotionally, did you feel like, oh, I'm kind of hot today? Or
not so much.
There was no glow.
Really?
There was no glow. And we all had boys here. It seems like they always say that when you have a boy, you feel and look better than ever. But it's also part of society. I feel like everyone has this image of what you're supposed to look like when you're pregnant. And you see all the celebrities who are pregnant. Yeah. I got huge. I'm 5'4" and I got to 196 pounds at delivery. And I was all belly. And at some point, you just have the fear it's never going to go back. And you're going to be forever this ginormous person, but you're going through it alone. Even though your partner's with you, like, you're the one that's changing and getting awkward and stretching to no end. And
so is the glow an old wives' tale? Like, is that full of crap? Or
the glow is the sweating you do.
That's a good point.
You're very, like, shiny and
did
oily.
Did he just turn on the television?
Our son just turned on the PlayStation.
How?
He did use the force. I have no idea.
He is holding a remote of some sort.
Oh, okay. Let me go get that from him. Keep talking.
He's very proud of himself.
He is. He thinks he's going to play Mortal Kombat
it's
or something.
Blue.
I know.
Oh, my God, he did.
This is crazy. So, you know, we start to get to this point where we're wearing our maternity clothes and it's obvious to the world that we're pregnant. How did you feel about that when people just thought like they could just talk to you about being pregnant? It was pretty much an invitation, you know, to everyone.
What is up? Let's talk about what is up with people touching the belly.
Oh, yes.
It's not a lamp. You don't rub it and make a wish. People are like reach out and touching you all the time, like strangers, coworkers. I felt like I had to like have my hands over myself to like.
Did you allow it? Would you like let people touch your belly?
It was kind of like you couldn't prevent it because they just scooped in there before you could
Mm-hmm. I did find that the mom arms came where you always felt like you were resting and protecting it, like trying to not let anyone touch it. But I was very open to letting people touch it, like friends and family. And I would show the disappearing belly button to people. I was very open in sharing it. But towards the end where it was like that really tight stretch, I didn't want anyone touching me. No one.
I didn't want anyone to touch me ever throughout the entire, like, I just felt weird because it was still my skin and like that was still me. I think people thought that they were touching a baby, mm-hmm. but you're touching me actually. And you're right, when they would come up and ask different things, it just made me feel weird. And I have this weird problem with belly buttons, so I'm afraid, like, I don't know what's on the other side. I've asked people in med school, like, what is on the other side? Is it just a dry stump at this point?
And they still don't know what it is, actually.
They don't.
Just like, see, I was scared of it.
I was excited showing people because I had a I'm from New Jersey, so I had the triple, like, belly button piercing, and as the inner hole, like the scar from the inside would come out, I was like showing everyone, like, I had both of the scars like on the outside. And I had no belly towards the end. I had no belly button. It was just skin.
Oh.
Like a pod person, like came from outer space.
Oh.
And I showed it. I was very open. I thought it was really cool to have people feel the baby move and that kind of stuff, but I never had the person in the grocery store come up to me, and I think that would be a little weird for that to like just randomly touch your belly.
Was it hard? So, you know, halfway through, you find out the gender. Now, everyone usually says, oh, I just want five, you know, not five fingers, 10 fingers and 10 toes. If your kid has five fingers, they're missing a couple. But, you know, did you, looking back on it now, did you kind of secretly wish for a gender? And when you heard that you were having a boy, were you happy? Were you sad? Let's throw it out all on the table.
I ended up, unfortunately, having amnios with both of my pregnancies.
I don't know what that means.
Amniocentesis?
That's the needle.
Yeah, the needle test. Because we had some blood work come back with some concerning results. So we were just happy to know that the babies were healthy, mm-hmm. and had all of their body parts and fingers and everything intact. So, you know. We're just happy.
That's definitely whenever we ask you. That's also the awkward question whenever I ask you, like, when you're pregnant, like, and you're going for that test. Do you want a boy? Do you want a girl? And you feel like a horrible person if inside you really are hoping for one or the other.
Mm.
And you do truly hope for a healthy baby. After dating my husband for 13 years, I was fully aware of his position on girls. So I was really hoping it was a boy in there just for his sanity and,
what?
You know,
what is his position?
He does not want girls. He's terrified of having a girl. He doesn't mind little girls. He just doesn't want a grown-up version of me. He met me in college. He's very worried of what a daughter I would produce would do.
He doesn't want a 16-year-old Dana.
No, he does not. He does not know a 16-year-old Dana. I think he would be terrified of a 16-year-old Dana. But, you know, with the first one, it was very obvious. Sonogram went on, baby boy was there, and seeing the happiness on my husband's face was great. So and I have a brother, so I was prepared for it. Coming up to the second one, I do want a girl, and I get worried because I'm like, he really doesn't want a girl. And if I feel like if it comes out of a boy, I'd be great, it'd be wonderful, I'd be happy. But then I wonder, like, oh, I didn't get a girl.
Listen, can I give you a little guy's perspective on
this? Guy's perspective. Okay,
all right. Having a girl it's like owning a boat. I love the idea of a boat. The idea of a boat is fantastic. But then you get the actual application of a boat. Then you got to wash it. You got to like mm-hmm. paint it. You got to do it. So like the real work behind a girl is terrifying. Like an old adage I heard once is if you have a boy, all you got to do is worry about one penis.
Uh-huh.
If you have a girl, you got to worry about every penis.
Yep.
And so that to me is, oh, that's just overwhelming. And that the idea of a girl is great. But then worrying about every penis in the world, mm-hmm. that just... First of all, penises, this just doesn't really enter my brain. But you know what? Worrying about all of them? No, that ain't my business. No way. No thanks. I'll stick with a boy. I'm all set.
I also had a bit of a scare after we found out the gender, though, actually. I don't know. Maybe... And we had done a lot of different genetic testings mm-hmm. for the baby back when he was in the belly. So I think I agree with you, Rebecca, that I just wanted everything to be healthy and happy. But towards that week when we found out the gender, someone said, "You're going to have a girl." And this comment really, really bothered me. I want to be like, who the heck do you think you are saying, you know, because some chart told you I'm having a girl. I'm going to have a boy. I'm going to have a conversation with this baby in my belly right now, and it better grow a penis, because I want you to be wrong. This person said it was so much determination, and I remember going right in.
They were convinced. The girl was happy. Now, that's it. There's no other way around it. Like, it was inevitable.
Yeah. You're having a girl. And just, I know. So once the sonogram was there, and there was Reese in all of his glory showing off his manhood, that was the first thing I said. That person was wrong. I am so happy that person was wrong. And yay, we're having a boy.
But I was happy because my kid was packing some serious heat, dude.
When you were pregnant, though, did you enjoy people trying to guess and tell you, like, oh, your butt looks really big, you're having this, or oh, you have this? They were never ever positive things. They were always the randomest, uncomfortable thing about your body, and then telling you if it was a boy or a girl.
People, when you're pregnant, just have verbal diarrhea. They just say whatever the hell they want to say.
What was the most annoying thing someone told you when you were pregnant?
Oh, you look big today.
Oh. It's like,
thanks.
Yeah, you look tired. Are you tired? You look tired. It's like, yes, I am tired.
Or, and I'm going to be tired for the next 18 years.
You know, or I love the famous one, you're having a big baby, aren't you? And I'm like, is that code for I look really big, or those kinds of things? Or
the question like, oh, you're going to go any day. You look like you're going to pop, and you're 30 weeks pregnant.
You're like, not even close.
No. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Leave me alone. Even just in the beginning, you know, when you hadn't really even told anyone yet, it was nerve-wracking for someone to come up to you and to kind of give you that eye. And Rebecca, did you show more quickly with your second one? Because that's a fear that I have.
Oh, gosh. I was so busy with the first one when I was pregnant with the second one that it kind of all seems to blur together now. I think I did end up wearing the maternity clothes a little faster. So, yeah, because everything was already kind of stretched out from the first pregnancy.
Now that you've gone through, so then you get your baby shower. What was the best item that you got at your baby shower?
There were so many that I didn't even know that I loved until I started to use them.
Yeah, now that you've used them and now they're tried and true, you know, or what would be your go-to if you were to go to a girlfriend's baby shower? What is the one that you want to get them?
So I love the Wubbanub. I feel like that was just a great little find. They're like these little pacifiers that are attached to little stuffed animals, kind of almost looking like Beanie Baby things, and they have them in all different colors and characters. But it's one of those nice things that even the kids in the NICU or little babies can have and safely play with and hold on to, and as they get bigger they can find them in their crib and put them in themselves. So I like those things.
What I tend to get people for showers is I usually get them the sound machine, the projectable sound machine by Munchkin, and then I always buy all the little things that you need that first week that you don't think of, like the baby Tylenol when they get the shots and the cradle cap shampoo and all those things that you think you need. But the things that I couldn't live without, like when I go visit my mom and I can't live without, is invest in a rocking chair. You're going to be sitting in there a long time. And my baby carrier. If I could not do that, I mean, I have mopped the kitchen floor those first few weeks with the baby in the baby carrier. I've gone to the bathroom with the baby in the baby carrier. That baby lived in that baby carrier. So those are the two things that when I'm without those, I want to cry.
I think back to our shower, and honest to God, one of the most useful things is diapers. And you know, people register for them, and a lot of people don't want to get them because they don't think it's fun. And I want to make sure that any shower I go to, in addition to a gift, I have a box of the diapers that they registered for, because those things, they run out so quickly. We couldn't keep enough of them. I feel like Amazon was delivering diapers every single week because they poop so much.
I had a diaper raffle, which is one of the best things my mom did, was that people brought a pack of diapers in different sizes, and then they got a prize if the raffle was drawn. So we had tons of diapers and different brands and types to figure out what fit best and this. And, you know, my friends who had girls said Huggies, and I have a boy and I say Pampers, and someone else says this. And you find what works best for you, but having that, like, massive supply meant never having to run to Target at 10 p.m. at night.
Now, you know, your pregnancy goes on. You've had your shower. Did you feel like your pregnancy became your identity? Like, did you feel like you could think about anything else, or that anyone ever wanted to talk to you about anything other than being pregnant? Or is that really just all inclusive?
I think that was pretty much it. It was kind of like I was looking to the end and counting the days and the weeks and the months and planning and preparing. And
ready for it to be over.
It was the only thing on your mind. So even though people wanted to talk to me about it, that's all I wanted to talk about too. That's all I thought about and dreamed about and worried about was the pregnancy, the delivery, and what was coming next.
And depending on how your pregnancy goes, I ended up at the doctor's office every twice a week with monitoring and pregnancy issues. So it was pretty much living, breathing, eating, and sleeping the pregnancy.
Did it ever become too much? Did you ever just say, I can't take it anymore? I'm going to freak out. Okay. Pregnancy. Did it emotionally pregnancy and all the work and everything, did it become too much?
It's a lot of worrying. It's a lot of, thinking about the fact that you're in charge of someone else's fate and their future, and everything you do relates to that. If you're eating healthy, if you're eating what you're supposed to, if you're not eating what you're not supposed to, if you're taking your vitamins, if your blood sugar, because I had gestational diabetes, so if your blood sugar, what you're checking, four times a day, and eating and getting insulin and all of that, it's a lot. It's very overwhelming. It's very stressful, and
it's a huge responsibility because you're carrying the baby, but you're carrying everyone else's hope. I mean, everyone's hoping for this baby. Your husband's hoping it for your mother, your mother-in-law, your friends and family are all hoping things for you. And that pressure really builds on you because you're worried that what if you do this wrong? And what if it doesn't result in a happy ending? I mean, everyone, I had this idea of being blissfully happy, yet I was a little bit, just nonstop worried. And those hormones can make you go nuts.
I did worry a lot, but I also had a sense of calm, and I think that was the pregnancy hormones. Like there was, things wouldn't get me as stressed as they normally would, because I think all of the hormones rushing through you kind of chill you out a little bit.
How'd you deal with it, with all the pressure? Did you breathe through it? Did you do yoga, like maternity yoga? Like how'd you get through your days?
I know I did prenatal yoga twice a week, which was awesome because it was specifically for pregnant women. And you kind of get a little community and got to hear what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, and had other friends who had acid reflux. And I referred to myself weekly as a dragon. Oh. I was like, oh, yes, I'm still a dragon. So that definitely helped me. And I think my childbirth education class, we took a pretty in-depth 6-week or 8-week course. And I had to listen to these relaxation CDs, and I did that every single day, and I think that helped me.
That acid reflux, that gave you some serious stank breath.
Thank you.
No, it did. Like, and I'm not even being a jerk about it. I'm just, because I want some women out there to know that if you're pregnant, you got acid reflux, dude, carry around some scope or something. I don't know.
That would probably feel terrible.
What? I don't know. I have a mint. Altoid, Something strangely, curiously strong.
It feels like there's a fire-breathing dragon in your belly at all times.
I did not get that. I did not.
Oh my gosh. Did you get anything? Because that probably, I only get a couple times with the leg cramps. I didn't have really any back pain, but the acid reflux, I was on like the most hardcore medicine for acid reflux. It was so bad. I would wake up at night. I couldn't stay out in public if it attacks. So what was your major ailment?
That's the nice thing about having friends and getting to sharing all your things, because you get to hear other people's. But mine was the hair loss. I was really concerned I was going to go bald.
After birth or
during it? I was just, it was falling out and pulling out, and it was disappearing. But like I said, I had the burping like everyone else, the gas, the itchiness from the stretching, because I stretched a lot. So that constant feeling of like can't get the itch of your skin on your stomach stretching. So all those things. But it was nice to have friends that were a few months ahead of me, that they were 3 or 4 months ahead. So I kind of knew it was coming up, and then would hear theirs and then be relieved when I didn't get those things.
It's so funny because we're sitting here talking about this, all of the ailments of pregnancy, and I'm like, damn, I'm glad I'm not going through this again. Because you forget.
Oh, you completely forget.
I with my first pregnancy, I had carpal tunnel in one of my hands. I had like a little brace to wear. I remember having leg cramps so bad that I would wake up in the middle of the night in my sleep. My first pregnancy, I had this weird thing called Perrigo of pregnancy. It's almost like you get really, really, really itchy. I had to have like a little skin biopsy and some testing because of it. So like there was just so many random things that kind of sucked.
And
I hope people who are, listening have kids already, because we don't want to scare anyone, but it's not a fun.
No, pregnancy is not
warm,
fun. The end result is beautiful, but the actual process of pregnancy is not is not fun. One of my aunts was very happy about being pregnant. She always said that pregnancy, she felt her healthiest and she felt best. And I thought that was going to be me, and it was all a lie. And I felt horrible and tired, and then I felt bad towards the end where I wanted it to be over.
And think about having that and having a little one running around. I used to try to convince my little guy to take naps with me. So like, mommy needs a nap. You need a nap too.
What did you do? You know, because you had a little one running around while you were pregnant. I mean, Dana and I only have one. And if we ever want to have another, I can't even fathom it.
Tired with the first one, just think about how tired you'll be with the second one, because you don't get to rest as much. You don't get to have your time and, you know, have your quiet bathroom moments and all of that fun stuff. So,
but I'm finding that like the 12 months have hit. Alexander is one now. And, you know, my husband and I have tried talking about number two. And the bad thoughts of the first pregnancy, now that we're talking about it now, but they're not really there. I don't remember the actual pain. I don't remember feeling big. Like, I'm kind of getting the itch. Like, I want another one. Like, and then I think, are you crazy?
I know. I was just going to say that. You're nuts.
Like, when Alexander's crying last night at 2:30, I'm thinking, do we want another one? Are we nuts?
I was pretty much in the mindset, I better get this over with now before I get comfortable with, you know, one and done. So
now, talking about, you know, the end of your pregnancy, how did your childbirth classes prepare you or not prepare you? Like, think about all those classes, not just childbirth, but all those classes that we signed up for and took. Mm-hmm. What would you actually recommend did help, and which ones and which parts of it just made you worried or you didn't care about?
No one can describe what contractions feel like. So that whole, like, once the contraction starts, like, that feeling no one can explain to you. But the classes didn't, nothing really made me feel better or worse. I was in labor for 3 days. So when they, that part where they say in the video where like labor can take a long time, they don't really explain enough in there that they could tell you, like, you're in labor and then not deliver till 3 days later. So
yeah, and the classes, let's talk about the video for a minute.
Yeah, we didn't watch a video. We were in a very hippie class.
The video may have been someone's home video from 1982 It was, you know, some big hair and some big stashes and, you know, people in the shower trying to make their wives look comfortable. So that I didn't find the childbirthing classes to really be helpful. And I think with anything with the pregnancy and the childbirth, you may have a plan going into it, but you have to realize that, you know, you're not going to look all beautiful and glowing, and you may not have your bag packed, and, you know, you might go early, you might go late. The child, maybe, you know, you want to go in there and have a delivery with no drugs and, you know, have the child come into a calm environment. But one way or the other, it's about getting the kid out and healthy and, you know, have the mom be healthy. So
do you remember in the class when they said to you, like, now go home and write your birth plan? What kind of music do you want playing in the background? What scented candle are you going to crush up and put in the pillow so you feel serene? They had all this list of stuff. They did. They told us to, and then and my husband did one of them. They the slideshow of pictures for me to focus on, of like, and he went home and like did all of our honeymoon and the wedding and family and stuff. And in go time, I didn't look at anything. I didn't smell anything. I didn't want any music. I wanted out. I wanted it to be done. And I just remember that the whole birth plan. And then every time you would go to a visit, have you made your birth plan? Have you decided what soundtrack you're going to give birth to? No soundtrack.
It's not like you're going to sit there and sing The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music. It just doesn't happen.
Actually, I really favor Braveheart right now. I don't know why.
Hi, I'm from New Jersey. I want only Bon Jovi playing in the background at all time. Life is a highway.
And I think my husband packed like a little, you know, snack bag, because they said, husbands, you're going to be in there for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, F you, you're bringing your Diet Coke. I think you brought some nips with you, like alcohol, because I get the drugs and you feel like you need some too. And you're not having that if I can't have that.
I love when Gregory tells a story and says things like, well, you were in labor for 3 days, but I was trapped for 3 days because he stayed in the room and he never left. Because I think, and I wouldn't even know, to be honest, during that labor, I wouldn't know if he left or not. I was so drugged up. But he was, I was trapped. I was in an uncomfortable chair.
don't even go there with the uncomfortable. Let's be honest.
Seriously. Boys need to stop complaining. Our childbirth class was very long. As I said, we did hypnobabies. So hypnobabies, if you haven't done hypnobabies.
Yeah, bubble of peace.
It's very... Listen,
it's all garbage. I'm sorry.
Okay, Blake wasn't a big believer, but I'll tell you this. I honestly loved the class. I believed, and I ended up not fearing birth. I was someone who was so scared of birth that I couldn't go to the childbirth class that you guys went to because I did not want to see those birthing videos. I did not want to hear any of that. So hypnobabies did wonders on me. But there were some aspects that were a little difficult for us because my birthing partner didn't necessarily believe in hypnobabies. So it was, you know, it's tough because you go through this or maybe something scare your birth partner or they don't want to hear it. But I particularly almost felt like less is more. I didn't want to know about the different drugs. I didn't want to know about the different interventions because I just wanted to say, you know what? I'm going to go to the hospital one day. And I'm going to leave with a baby. And I'm just going to trust these people to kind of know what they're doing. Because, you know, when I heard about these things like the internal monitoring or the different drugs and these are the complications that could happen to you and your baby, it messed me up. Mm-hmm. And then I became so fearful about, oh, I don't want to have any of these drugs and I don't want to have any of these things happen. And I had to finally tell myself, you know what, whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. Because these doctors are professional. They know what they're doing.
Let me defend the guys here a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a mom's roundtable, but sure.
But I'm the guy's voice, so that's why I'm here. Yeah. Like, I gotta bring some logic to all this whole conversation here. I will not contend anything about giving birth or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is something I will never, ever understand, comprehend, nor would I ever care to. But for guys, it's actually really tough, especially for someone like me. We talked about this on the dad's roundtable. I watched Mary be in pain for 24 straight hours with no drugs, no nothing. And that is emotionally taxing. Mm-hmm. Like, that is terrible. So when he says something like, oh, I was uncomfortable or whatever, you got to think, like, as a guy, you feel like you have to provide for your wife. Mm-hmm. Or as a birth partner, you have to provide for that person because, you know, you're together. And if you can't do that, and there's nothing in this world that you can do to stop that pain, that is terrifying to me. That's awful. And I went through it. It was one of the most awful things I've ever been through in my life. And I will go to the grave saying that. I don't care how badly it makes anybody else feel.
Yeah, every tough guy will say that the inside they definitely felt it. Because when they sent me back and I wasn't ready on the second day, they sent me home and my husband was looking at me and the doctor says, well, bring her back when she's in more pain and I'm doubling over. And he goes, more pain? Like, what level? And we were home for maybe 2 hours and he was like, no, we're done. We're going home. So definitely, even though they don't tell you, the guys definitely feel it. You know, they feel pain for you.
Well, let me ask you this. How helpful were the guys in your life? How helpful were the husbands in your classes, and did they participate? Were they active in your pregnancy and doing all the things that, you know, they're supposed to do? But some guys, like, did they read the books? Did you expect that of them?
My husband sat there in bed and would read, you know, the what to expect for dad's section. And towards the end of the pregnancy, he was shooting me up with my insulin shots every night and, you know, doing all he could to be supportive. And at one point when they sent me home from the hospital, even though I was 4 centimeters dilated and they couldn't admit me, he was pretty much, well, what can I do now? How do I throw down and get you admitted? And unfortunately, there was nothing he could do. So
for me, my partner is exactly what I need. He is the calming rock of the relationship where I am type A and worries and all that. He brings the calm into everything.
You're fine.
What?
You're fine.
You're fine. That's his statement. I should have a t-shirt that says it. You're fine. But he's there for me and through everything, when every worry I had and during that whole thing. So looking at him and seeing him calm and thinking that this was fine made me feel better. So he did not read the books. He, you know, he just felt that, you know, nature will take its course and we'll be fine. But I needed someone. I needed to have someone opposite of me reading every single book and worrying about every single thing and have him just say, it's fine. You're fine. The baby's fine.
I needed someone who was like me. Blake and I tackled childbirth and pregnancy a little differently. I realized around like 30 weeks, he still didn't know what was going on with me. I think he asked me something that was like relevant to the first trimester. So I finally took a dad's pregnancy book and I put it in the bathroom because that's where he reads. And I put a sticky note saying like, "Hi, Daddy, Mommy's doing a lot of work."
Oh, she put a picture of
the ultrasound
in a frame, and she wrote a note from the kid.
Yeah, I was like, "Hi, Daddy, Mommy's doing a lot of work. I'm kicking her a lot, and I can't read, so you need to help read these books." And then I knew Blake read the book because the next day he said something like, "Hey, are you going to eat your placenta?" So that's how I knew.
You're not going to plant it in the backyard?
No, didn't do that.
All right, you know what? We talked about this. I'm not sure if you guys have heard it yet, but we talked about this on the Dad's podcast, eating placenta. And oh my God, it's mortifying. Why would anybody choose to do that?
We'll talk about that in a future episode. I'm talking about you as my birth partner.
Sorry,
though.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So basically, you know, I'm taking these HypnoBabies classes, and I realized that I love Blake. I dearly, dearly do. But I knew he was just going to be a mess during birth. So we paid for a doula. And the doula was my $800 birthing partner who, honest to God, saved the day. Because Blake just cried in a corner.
Second career? I could do that.
Oh,
right?
My God. What?
Oh, my God. You said, "Oh, my God," while you're staring at the kid. You made me think he was dead.
Oh, no. He ain't dead. He's just touched Rebecca's
He's
purse.
He's rifling through the purse. Yeah.
Okay. Phew.
There's always good things in mom's purse.
So you had Blake in a corner, and I had my husband holding a leg. And as he will forever say, that I got a little juice on him when Alex came out. So, I mean, every dad's role is a little different. I was the only person on Kent County's floor, and yet my husband was holding a leg and was constantly asking why he was holding my leg. Like, oh, yeah. All the people, can someone else hold this? Because we had this vision of him being behind me in one of the pictures where he saw nothing, and he was right there, ground zero. We saw it all.
Oh. Front and center. No, so, nice. You know, now that we've gotten to the birthing time, you know, looking back on pregnancy, are there any tips or any things that you'd want to let your girlfriends who haven't gone through pregnancy know, whether it's like a heads up, this is really what happens, or
what's that one most important thing you would want a girlfriend to know if she's going to be pregnant and have it push out that watermelon?
I have to say, it really is the scariest thing you'll ever do, but going through the whole childbirth part of it, it might not go according to plan, but the doctors and the nurses really do make you feel as though you're still, you know, human and have your dignity, and they're very respectful, and they may be wiping your girly parts, and you know, you may have a catheter shoved up your hoo-ha and whatnot, but they really have such exceptional bedside manners that I feel like that makes it a little bit easier to deal with.
I think for the pregnancy part, and even having a baby, every single pregnancy, every single baby is different. No one's the same. No one carries the same. No one looks the same. No one has the same elements. I mean, we're talking today and none of us have the same elements. You may get stretch marks. You may not get stretch marks. You're going to carry high or low. You're going to have acne. You're not going to have acne. And that you can't compare yourself, because with Facebook and everyone sharing and everyone knowing everyone's business, knowing that, you know, if you're not feeling something or if you are feeling something different, that you're probably not alone. Like, you know, find a mom group that you can ask like that random question about, like, you know, the dragon breath of burping or the acid reflux or something else that you may be feeling, that you can't compare yourself to everyone out there. And that's what you tend to do with everything on Facebook and even just your friends. I'm 32 and we're all going through it. And then you're like, well, they're carrying that way, or they're feeling this, or their baby kicked at 20 something weeks and I don't feel anything. And you can't compare yourself, but yet they are your best resource. So ask your friends things and, you know, get personal. Say, "Are you farting? Because I'm farting." And there's nothing more of a relief to hear someone say to you, "Yeah." Like after you're sharing, like, "Yeah, I'm doing that too," because it's the best relief to hear your friends farting too.
Mary, how about you? What's your one tip that you'd give to a girlfriend?
Milk it for all it's worth, especially if it's your first pregnancy. It is your last 10 months of freedom. It's your last 10 months as just you. And I say sleep, eat.
Go to the movies.
Go see a movie every week. Please do it. Go on a baby moon. Get yourself pedicures. Pamper yourself, because you are never going to be able to do it again. I now watch movies when they're on demand. And I am a huge movie buff and I have to wait. And being a mom, as you said, it's the best thing ever. But be as selfish as you can possibly be during those 10 months. If you don't want to unpack, you don't unpack. You say, honey, I'm pregnant and I am tired and I'm going to take a nap, because that's your job. Your job is to have fun, stay healthy, stay happy, because a happy pregnant woman makes the whole house happy. Am I right, honey?
Oh, happy wife, happy life.
There you go. So that's my advice. Just milk your pregnancy and enjoy it. Yes, definitely enjoy it.
Why don't we get into the wines of the week? Dana, why don't you start? What's your wine of the week?
I think that now we've passed the first birthday and all the toys are everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think my wine is how I cannot stand how that my house has been taken over by Fisher-Price and VTech. And my husband and I will both say that they need to come up with new songs, different people singing the songs. And I know they're all educational, but my husband started doing this. He's turning them all off.
Is he really?
He's going around and turning all the sounds off and all the things, so the baby goes up and touches everything and it doesn't work. But, my wine is the sound and the songs of the music. I can't stand it.
I don't blame you. Rebecca, how about you? What do you got for your wine?
So, my almost three-year-old he's in the midst of potty training. He's doing really well. Yay for Brandon. But, let's see. Last night, he may have pooped and rolled around in it in his bed and ended up in our bed and may have peed in ours. So.
Now, did you change your sheets after he peed, or were you too tired?
We changed all of the sheets.
Oh my God. I don't even know what I would do.
Yeah.
I don't even know what. Well, you know what I would do?
You wouldn't care.
I'd let my kids sleep in it. Mary, how about you? What's your wine?
Our diaper genie. I think it just keeps breaking, and we're just either overflowing with diapers and we just don't know how to use it, or honest to God is broken, because I've gotten probably week old poop on my hand by pushing in the diaper and it's just not clicking. So I don't know what we did, but my diaper genie broke. And
I hate that thing. I kind of do. I really do.
I love my diaper genie.
Do you really?
Foot pedal one. You got to get the foot pedal one. Upgrade.
We go for the deluxe. We had the diaper champ. It lasted 24 hours in our house, and then we bought the diaper genie.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
I know, but like the diaper genie is like, it's like such a pain in the butt. Like,
We have the rule in my house. My husband deals with that.
Yeah, well, see, I deal with it too.
No, you don't. You don't deal with it very well because it's broken. And it's overfilling. What is it called? When it's overflowing.
Overflowing.
Oh, God. I don't sleep anymore. Overflowing.
Try doing it without the diaper genie for a week. The smell that will engulf your house. The diaper genie is amazing. Yeah. I want to be one of those people who invents something like sock-ons or diaper genie and hit the million-dollar jackpot.
I got a wine of the week, all right?
Okay.
Last night, we go out to dinner. We come home. And we gotta get Reese to sleep. Gotta get him. So Mary decides I'm gonna nurse him to sleep, and she nurses him and everything. He's in bed, and I get him asleep. And I'm like, honey, can you go get us some cake? And she's like, oh no, I can't drive. I'm like, why? She goes, because I'm drunk. I'm like, what? You had two beers. Yeah, I know I'm drunk. I'm not going out. And I'm like, I think she's lying.
I totally was.
I know, of course she was.
It was like two beers over a long period of time with so much food.
I know.
I just didn't want to go.
She just didn't want to go out.
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one that pulls the girl card.
Oh my God. Like, what are we doing here? Really? Seriously?
Nope.
Totally lied to me. I was upset. I'm not going to lie.
Did you get cake?
I got the cake.
Well, now that we're talking about something that I love, let's go on to the wins of the week. Yay! You get to go first, Rebecca.
Yay. So I... drugstore run and came home to a nice chilled martini waiting for me by my husband. So that's my win of the week. That was a good one.
Dana, how about you?
You know what? I think my win of the week was finally realizing just to enjoy the small moments. Like, last night, holding Alex in my hands, me sleeping and looking at his little face. I'm always rushing to put him in the crib so I can go do something else. And last night, for the first time, I just kind of sat there and stared at him. He's 12 months and I feel like it flew by. So that was a win for me.
Mary, you?
My win for the week is I think we finally figured out how to go out to eat at a restaurant with Reese. First he was a newborn, and that's the easiest thing in the entire world, is just take the newborn with you. And then he got to this loud, I want to eat along with you phase. And we now have it down to a T, where it's like we go in, we don't put him in the high chair right away. Mm. We only put him in the high chair when there's food for him to eat. Mm. So we play with him, and then as soon as the food comes, he eats. And then the moment he starts screaming, we ask for the check. And that's kind of, I feel like we've gotten a good flow. So we get to feel like we're back in civilization again. So that's my win of the week. How about you?
I'm going off the grid here. I did the same exact thing with Dexter that I did with Breaking Bad. I had Reese right next to me. He was awake, and we were watching the end of Dexter together, and it was so awesome.
When do dads do this?
Seriously.
When you guys are asleep.
Why are you watching so much bad TV with our baby?
Because I got to watch it. He's got to be included.
This is how we learned to turn the TV on.
Yeah, we've wondered why during this interview Reese turned on the TV and the Xbox. I can't even turn those things on, and our kid knows how to do it.
You're going to come in with the Xbox remote velcroed to his hand.
Hey, wait till the Red Sox start. I can't wait for that. He's just going to sit down with me. You know, he was born on opening day last year at Fenway.
Does that mean his first words are going to be swear words?
Oh, of course it's going to be.
Now, it's coming up. First words.
I know. We choose to be swear-free on this, but I have a serious potty mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, big-time potty mouth. And you know one of them swear words is coming out. F this! Of course it's going to happen.
I can't wait. Well, now it's time for our parent picks of the week. So, Dana, what do you got? What's your favorite toy or item?
Right now that he's 12 months and we're doing walking, that VTech walker really makes a big difference in helping, get him to that walking stage. He's in that creep that they call it, cruising. And I'm really enjoying that VTech walker as a must-have toy for that 10 to 12 month range.
How about you, Rebecca?
So, we have, a Baaba, which is this awesome baby food maker. I used it, for making baby food, and now I use it to steam fresh fruits and veggies that are kind of, you know, the toddler food that he can feed himself with, and he loves it.
My parent pick, let's see, I would recommend downloading or putting on a CD to make your kid go to sleep. I know that we talked about this on the sleep routine episode, where if you have some music that plays during every nap time, and they do this most of the time if your kid's in daycare, but Reese isn't in daycare, and it has made a big difference. I've been playing him just this piano CD every time when he's taking a nap or when he's asleep, and it really has helped him know, okay, it's bedtime. It's time to start calming down, simmer down now. So that is my parent pick of the week. Thanks, guys, so much for coming in today. What do you think? What do you think about ParentCast being guests? Are you frightened, or did you have fun?
I had fun. It's pretty easy. It's very easy to talk to the two of you. It's just like hanging out.
Oh, thank you. So sweet.
What did you think, Blake? You were here, you know, listening to three women.
Listen, I got a bunch of hot women sitting around me, so I'm okay with that. I'm here having fun and drinking water.
Did it make you excited for pregnancy if we ever get pregnant again?
Oh, I will never be, ever be excited about being pregnant again. I don't care. I'm sorry, dude. No way, no how. I have a hot enough time with one kid. Imagine two.
What is that commercial that was like going around on Facebook where the dad, they had the first kid, and like you expect the dad to be upset when he showed the pregnancy test, and they were really excited. I forget what that one was. It was for diapers or something, and it was, you know, you fear that second one, but you're going to be just as excited. At least I keep telling myself that.
Yeah, man, I want to believe it. I swear I want to believe
Rebecca's giving us hope. She's saying it can be done.
You know, it's one of those things. I didn't enjoy pregnancy the first time or the second time, but I knew that I wanted my child to have a sibling. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have your family, and that's what it's all about. So you suck it up and you put your big girl panties on. You might pee in them every now and then while you're pregnant, but you just get to the end of the road, and you've got these great kids here to appreciate and enjoy.
It was so good to talk to you guys and chat about pregnancy, as glamorous and fabulous as it is.
I'm going to say, pregnancy, dude, it's scary. It's like, it's definitely not glamorous. You know, everyone makes it seem like, oh my God, it's so beautiful, I love it, and da-da-da-da. And like the birth is, it's so liberating and empowering, and it's like the most wonderful thing. And it seems overwhelming. You know, I don't know. I feel I could never be a woman. I'll tell you that.
I hope not.
No chance.
Damn right.
Yeah, I know.
But for every woman out there, it is your superhuman power. I mean, you are able to bring a baby into the world, and that's kind of a cool thing.
That is really cool. I totally agree. That's why I could never do it. I'm too much of a loser. I don't know.
Well, Well, as we were chatting here today, we were chatting with Dana and Rebecca, and we got to talk about how it was really our friends and our family and in our support group mm-hmm. that helped us get all through this. So we want to let you know that if you're listening to this and if you have questions or comments or you want to know if farting is normal and natural during your pregnancy, please contact us, because I've been pregnant, Blake's gone through it, and we have a whole bunch of different resources out here, and we just want to help you and help this community grow. And if we can't answer it, we'll find out someone who can. So if you want to contact us, you're going to want to head to parentcastpodcast.com.
Or if you're into the Facebook fad still thing, I don't know. You can get us at facebook.com/parentcast.
Tweet us at parentcast.
And the good old email, too, at parentcast@gmail.com.
Well, thanks again, you two. We're excited to have you back on in a future date.
Thank you.
Bye. Happy pregnancy to all those pregnant people out there.
So, what do we got next? I think we got, a really uplifting topic, wills and trusts.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, make sure you get us the feedback. Let these girls know they did a good job. And if it's good feedback, we'll put it on the show. And if it sucks, well, then you're left out as always. Thanks
a lot.
We'll
see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Parentcast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
What for?